Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John. This is chapter 3. It says verses 1 through 17. I'm only going to read verses 1 and 2. And this is on page 1649, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible. This is part of a familiar story, and we will hear more of the story as we go along here. So John 3, 1 and 2. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." That's the beginning of our scripture reading for this Sunday morning. God is blessing us through these words, speaking to us through these words, and God's words are always true, always to be trusted. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in this week's story, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. But his most pressing darkness is not physical, but spiritual. He thought his life was going along all right, but when he saw Jesus in action and saw his own world being turned upside down, he wasn't so sure. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, you see, which meant he knew all the rules. He was a rabbi, a teacher, which meant he could speak with some authority. He was most likely pretty well off, and he was in tight with the inner circle of the high priest and the powerful in Jerusalem. So he was a man of some privilege. And yet, Nicodemus was a little in the dark, as we say. The darkness of the night, when he seeks Jesus out, is a reflection of an inner darkness. Something isn't right with him. He can feel it, but he can't quite name it. He was frightened, maybe a little excited, mostly though, I think, just unsettled, queasy. Does that sound familiar? We are walking down our road, our well-worn path, when we come to the proverbial fork in the road. Off this way is the direction we have been traveling. We can see the footprints of our ancestors in the grass. It's a well-worn path. It feels safe. But Jesus stands over on this side of the fork, and he says, "We should go this way now." And we look, and we can see that it's not really much of a path at all. Almost no one has gone down that road before. Why would we want to go that way and take a chance on getting lost? Well, Nicodemus is at just such a fork when he arranges a meeting with the young teacher late at night in a quiet place where they wouldn't be seen. He has questions, but he opens strangely with a comment. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." That's a fact to him. "No one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." That too is a fact. And I'm sure Nicodemus was about to ask a real question, but Jesus interrupts him with something that sounds to us like a complete change of subject, though in fact it is right on target. "No one can see the kingdom of God," he tells Nicodemus, "without being born from above." And a little later he says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." So here's my paraphrase of what's going on in this conversation. This is what Nicodemus and Jesus are saying to each other. Nicodemus says, "When I see what you do, I think I am seeing the kingdom of God." And Jesus replies, "Well, yeah, you sure are. And take it from me, if you see the kingdom of God in what I'm doing, it's only because you have already been born into that kingdom. Born from above, so to speak. Born by the Spirit of God. You're not making this up, Nick. What you are feeling is a gift from God. It's a new beginning. It's like you're being born all over again. Nicodemus is confused, alarmed. He came to Jesus because he was restless. He had listened to Jesus teach. He had watched the signs, and he found himself drawn to this very strange way of being Jewish. And he was afraid, I suspect, that if he kept listening, if, God forbid, he became a disciple of this rabbi, his world would indeed be turned upside down. I don't know what it feels like to give birth to a child, for which I am very grateful, by the way. But I well remember those times in the delivery room watching as my wife gave birth to our daughters. The words we use are telling, aren't they? She gave birth to them. They didn't ask for it. She gave it to them. They didn't take it. She gave. And judging by their wailing, they weren't even so sure they wanted to be born. But she gave them life anyway. It was her gift, not in the least the result of their effort. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and he's thinking, there is something happening here. What it is not exactly clear, but something is happening to me. I imagine Jesus putting his hand on Nicodemus' shoulder, and with a little smile, he replies, Nick, get used to it. Like the wind, you see, the Spirit blows where she wants, and right now she is blowing your way. You have been born from above, you see. You're out of the womb now. This is your new life. I know you didn't ask for it, but here it is. It's a gift. And Nicodemus is almost blown away by this wind. How, he asks, how can this be? How can a man be born when he is old? Or to follow the metaphor we had earlier, how can I dare step off the path I've been on my whole life? Nicodemus asked how to be born anew, Laura Mendenhall writes, assuming he needed to do something in order to cause this to happen. And Jesus answered, this is not about what you do. You do not give birth to yourself. You cannot give birth to yourself. God is the one who breathes life into you and gives you birth from above. At your birth, blood is shed, but it is not your blood. The blood at this birth belongs to the one who gives birth to you, belongs to the God through whom you are born into eternal life. Nicodemus asked Jesus how-to questions, and Jesus told him about the God who gives birth to us. Now, you probably know this, but in the New Testament, there's only one word that is translated as wind, breath, and spirit. Same word used for all three. Spirit is a hard thing to define. So, the ancients used breath and wind as metaphors. A breath of fresh air, you see, is really one way of describing the Holy Spirit at work. This Spirit, breath, wind is blowing in and around and through this congregation today, this morning. You can't see it any more than you can see the wind, but pay attention and you can feel it. Lean in and you will be moved by this wind. Well, we all need, each of us individually, of course, but even more so, all of us together as the church body facing an uncertain future. What we need is to feel again this wind of the Spirit moving over us and into us, bringing this congregation to a new birth, to a new life. There is, you see, so much more of God that we have yet to experience, and so much more for God that we have yet to do. We are, right now, being pushed out into this new world, being born again, into the world now before us, this world full of darkness and light, of violent ugliness and exquisite beauty. And even now, there are great lungfuls of the fresh air of God, ever-refreshing spirit available for us to breathe in. This spirit wind breath enables us to live as the people we have been created to be, among the neighbors that we have now, in this world that so desperately needs what we have been given to give to them. The wind blows where it will, Jesus told Nicodemus. We don't know where it comes from, we don't know where it might push us, but we sense it when it brushes over our faces. We have been born. We have been born again. We are being born again. What a breath of fresh air that is. So it is, Jesus said, with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen.